Michael Casey, it is an exciting time to catch some new movies in the theater. Premiering this weekend is a brand new documentary called Nalvani.
Yeah, and this is a documentary about Alexei Nalvani, who is probably one of the most vocal critics against Vladimir Putin. But I think that's probably why a lot of people may know him. They know that he's been very outspoken, that he's run against him, that he is leading the opposition in Moscow, that he was exiled from Russia for a period of time, and that he was actually the attempted assassination by the henchmen of Putin through a lethal nerve agent. He was actually tried to be poisoned back in August 2020, which is probably why, if you know the name, is why you know why you're interested in Nalvani, which is the documentary starts off in that vein. It is directed by Daniel Rohrer, and he's working hand-in-hand with Nalvani. He's kind of doing a fly-on-the-wall documentary, but he's also interviewing him as it goes along. So there's a lot of direct address to camera. And one of the things that Nalvani doesn't like about the documentary process is that Rohrer keeps asking him these questions of like, do you feel comfortable dying for your morals? Do you think that this is a worthy pursuit? Like, if this ends poorly, will you feel like you've lived a good life? And Nalvani, for very personal reasons, kind of takes offense at that. There's this guy who's trying to essentially capitalize on his own demise, which is, you know, to be honest, when you have a documentary and they're following a certain subject, they're hoping that something happens to the subject that provides them some sort of dramatic climax, finale, conclusion, something that moves their documentary from just observing life into something of an event. So yes, Rohrer has a dog in the fight here. He wants to see something happen. I don't think he actually wants harm to come to Nalvani, but like, there's definitely that morbid curiosity there. And he definitely lays that out on the table from like minute one of this doc. And it's a good doc. I think this is interesting subject. I think Nalvani is a very captivating person to spend time with, to talk to, as is his wife, Yulia. But the real reason that they see this thing is actually something that I think everyone knows about and maybe have even seen on YouTube, because this is very well publicized. This goes back to 2020. And it is Nalvani confronting the people who poisoned him. He actually, through a series of investigations, discovers the guys behind it, like the physical, the guys that actually gave him the poison, and then the people behind them that set up the whole situation. They figured out who they are. They contact them on the phone, and they start asking him questions. At first, Nalvani pretends to be, or he doesn't pretend, he plays himself, and he gets nowhere. So then he comes back, and he decides to call them again, but this time he's pretending to be a very brusque kind of bureaucrat, just trying to get some answers, trying to fill out some forms, trying to just push paperwork. And of course, the guys that he's calling buy it 100% and just start giving him the answers. And this is all recorded by Rohrer's camera, just to watch Nalvani and his crew's reaction to what they're hearing is utterly priceless. But the 20 minutes that really make up the center of this doc about this investigation of the poisoning is really stunning. Even if you have seen this before, just in clips on YouTube or on news reports, this gives you the whole picture, and it's really, really quite stunning. Nalvani, to kind of bring you up to speed, Nalvani has been in jail for over a year now for his dissent against Putin. And I think what's interesting about this doc is, if you consider where we're at right now with Russia and the war in Ukraine, is that it kind of gives you an idea of how the Russians themselves feel about what is being perpetrated in their name by their leader, by Putin, and how it is not a census that you can imagine, that there are the opposition parties, that there are people that are living in Moscow who don't go by, who don't fall in line the way that they, some of us think they are, sort of thing. Nalvani is definitely that representation. He is definitely that person that kind of raises the torch, sort of thing. And like I said, very captivating subject to spend an hour and a half with. So that is Nalvani. That is now out in wide release. You can see it at your major theaters, and is also being brought to you through CNN Films. So if you miss it in the theaters, it will be out on streaming and TV in no time at all.
And also premiering this weekend is a sci-fi film called, oh, I'm so excited about this, Duel.
Oh, yes. And you should be. This is such a great one. This is Duel. This is the latest from Riley Stearns, who makes these very kind of interesting small chamber pieces, sci-fi movies, very funny actually in weird ways, very cerebral. This will be opening at the C Film Center And this one stars Karen Gillan. She is Sarah. She lives kind of just this life of quiet resignation. I should say that the story is set in the near future for reasons we'll get to in a second. And one day Sarah wakes up and she finds out that she has a very rare disease. It is an incurable disease and it is fatal. And she has weeks to live, not very long at all. This has all delivered her in just utter, complete, total deadpan by her doctor. And it is received in absence of emotions. Apparently, as we progressed as a society and as a people, we've found a way to eradicate all forms of emotion. And so there's just a lot of going through the motions. Now, the body can die, but they've invented a cloning form that allows Sarah to continue on in a second body. It is Sarah. It will look like Sarah. It'll behave like Sarah. And it'll behave like Sarah because Sarah will have a chance to teach the clone how to behave like her. And it is a very costly procedure, but Sarah doesn't need to worry about that because the clone will incur all the cost of the procedures because in the future, debt will naturally be an inheritable asset. And so she goes through the process and she is cloned and she meets Sarah too. And then she teaches her a little bit about what she likes, what she doesn't like, about her relationship with her mother, about her relationship with her partner. And then guess what happens? Sarah doesn't die. It was a misdiagnosis. She is healthy and she will live a nice, long and healthy life. The only problem is that there is now two Sarahs walking around and there can't be two Sarahs. So the only way to resolve this conundrum is that there is a state-sanctioned duel to the death that both Sarahs need to now prepare for. And whoever wins the duel gets to be Sarah. This is all presented completely matter-of-factly. It is hilarious because Bradley Stearns does a really great job of zeroing in on like the idiosyncrasies of life and kind of just exacerbating them in fascinating ways. Like you're given a diagnosis that you're going to die. And obviously everyone wants to continue to live. They want to survive. But when you have a life in which your whole world revolves around just doing nothing but paying bills, punching a clock, waking up so that you can go to work, pay the bills. And there's no pleasure whatsoever. There's no reason to keep moving forward. What is the point of going on? And if you can't go on and you want someone else to go on in their place, are you giving them the gift of life because they could walk around and look at a sunflower or they could, you know, enjoy ice cream or something like that? Or are you cursing them to live the same miserable existence that you've been living all these years with the same broken relationships with your family members, the same broken down car that you've been driving with the heater that doesn't work in a very freezing part of town? Commuting to the same job that you hate. I just love this thing. I thought it was so funny. It is completely drained of color, of like emotion, but like the more droll it is, like the funnier it gets. Gillan does a really good job in both roles, as does Aaron Paul, who plays her like dojo master that she hires to teach her how to defend herself and eventually kill her clone. He has, I don't know, just this Bressanian approach to violence and survival and sacrifice. Like there's just no like there. And like, there's a couple of times where you think that this movie is going to slip into some sort of romance or some sort of like, even just a sexual relationship. And the left turns it takes just make it all the better, all the funnier, all the more enjoyable. I think you're gonna love this thing. It is playing at the C Film Center in Denver. It's only 95 minutes. It's a hoot. Go check out Duel.
And also playing at the Landmark Esquire is Paris, 13th District.
Yeah, and you know, this is another good one because, boy, these three movies, other than the fact that they're all coming out this week, there is nothing to connect them. Paris, 13th District is a French film from the director Jacques Audiard, who made Un Prophète about a decade ago, really strong movie. A pretty very strong filmmaker. He's got a great visual sense to him, very interested in character and story. And this one is set, like the title says, in the 13th District of Paris. And it involves a series of characters who intersect in interesting ways. Their storylines intersect in interesting ways. Because when you start this movie, you kind of feel like you're going to watch a collection of short stories. And it's presented that way, including with complete with like fade out, fade to black, fade in with new characters. Most of the stories here revolve around sex and romance, because this is French, it is a French film and we're in Paris. They are young, they're trying to explore themselves in their adulthood. And that is definitely like the crux that everything hangs around. I don't want to get into what is actually connecting them, because that's really the engine of the movie. And to lay that out here would be kind of give it away. What I think is people will find most recognizable is one of the main characters is played by Noémie Merlant. You may recognize her from A Portrait of a Lady on Fire. She is the painter that falls in love with her subject. She has a really interesting story here, because it is almost like a second act story. Her background before she enters the movie is a tale into itself. And the way it kind of gets drawn out through the movie leads you to believe that you're watching maybe not the most interesting part of her life, but like, this is what happens when you watch the movie after the movie. In a way, it actually kind of reminds me of Jerry Maguire, the Cameron Crowe movie from the 90s. I mean, that movie, Jerry Maguire, feel like that movie starts where all of the 80 movies end. And I get that same kind of that feeling, that urge here from Paris 13th District. We got a couple other characters here that are in relationships, about like trying to navigate romantic relationships in the 21st century, actually specifically navigating sexual relationships in the 21st century. Same thing with Noémie Merlant's character, same thing with another character that connects everyone together. This movie is actually just absolutely stunning to look at. The black and white photography here from Paul Guillaume is just captivating. I've been to Paris, but I haven't been to this section of it, but like watching this movie just makes you want to go there and just be with these people, because this is a part of the city that is just teeming with life. There are all kinds of immigrant cultures that have come there and settled in this area. It's also up and coming in the way that certain parts of like New York and Los Angeles and Chicago is, where yes, gentrification is a part of it, but the way that the cultures kind of butt up against on the fissures, on the where you have these connections, a fusion of cultures, that's the interesting part of here. I think this movie is pretty interesting, especially if you're in the mood for something a little bit more cerebral, a little bit more character driven. This is not as funny as Duel. This is not as ripped from the headlines as Nalvani. If you're looking for just to get lost in a romance, then you're going to go to Paris 13th District. That is, like we said, playing at the Landmark Esquire. Very good movie.
Well, Michael Casey, for more information about you and for your reviews, where can people go?
You can go to boulderweekly.com. It's online worldwide. If you're in the county, go ahead and pick up the paper. There's a new issue every Thursday, and it's always free. This week, I'm talking about Jaws, which is a movie that we just went through a shot at a time at CWA's Ebert Interruptus, and how that has kind of colored my interest in what makes a masterpiece. We're in 2022. And once a decade, Sight and Sound, British Film Magazine, asks critics and filmmakers across the globe to name their top 10 movies. And does Jaws fit that purpose? What is a great movie? What makes a masterpiece? Some thoughts on that in this week's Boulder Weekly. Otherwise, you can go to michaeljcinema.com for more in-depth reviews on Paris 13th District, on Duel, and just a slew of movies that are coming out in theaters and on streaming. That's all at michaeljcinema.com.